requirements laid down by the Labour Relations Act in order to be protected. Now, joining the conversation to shed light on the associated implications is associate in the employment practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Tamsankwa Mila. Tamsankwa, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
With regards to the Labour Relations Act of 1995, what is regarded as misconduct during strike action and what are the grounds for dismissal?
So misconduct would be misconduct in the ordinary sense of the word, in that whatever you would regard as misconduct in the workplace, you would also regard as misconduct in a strike context. For instance, in a strike, which is not like in the office, if you hit someone, that would be regarded as misconduct. If you damage property, that would be regarded as misconduct. So it's misconduct that in that context does not relate or concern or is connected to the concerted effort of striking for a particular purpose. So for instance, you're striking for wage increases, but rather you turn it into a violent strike, maybe against the employer, or maybe against representatives of the employer, that cannot be connected to the legitimate purpose of the strike.
In those instances, then, can those employees find themselves under disciplinary action or being prosecuted if there are grounds that proves that they were guilty of misconduct during the strike action?
Yes, they can. And I think an example that would help is a case that was just recently at the Labour Appeal Court, and the type of misconduct there was misconduct relating to employees who had become violent towards a human resources representative from the employer. They pushed him out of a window, they threw rocks at him, they punched him, and they even kicked him while he was lying on the floor. So there was misconduct in that sense, and those employees were disciplined for the misconduct, and they were eventually dismissed.
Does the misconduct of a group implicate other individuals if they associate themselves as members?
Yes. So this speaks to the doctrine of common purpose, which is something that's widely contested in the labor courts. But the essence of it is whether or not, as you're participating in the strike and this particular misconduct took place, you, by your behaviors and your intentions, connected yourself to that misconduct. So for instance, in this particular case, there were over 147 employees. Some were identified physically and others were not. And the issue that the court looked at was whether or not by participating and continuing to be and connecting themselves to the misconduct, those employees were acting in common purpose with those who had been identified as kicking and pushing and beating up the HR person.
You mentioned that this principle of common purpose has been criticized. What is the criticism?
The issue there deals with specifically what must happen, because the idea is that you must be charged for something that you have done. And so if as a group, without particularly identifying me as someone who's done this, does the employer have a right to charge me? And so it almost applies this idea that I've become guilty even before I've been proven guilty. And what I mean by that is, without positively identifying me as someone who was either beating up or who was pushing the person, how is it that I'm also charged with the rest of the people? However, when the court looked at this and they said, if you associate yourself with the people who have this intention to commit these misconducts, then the doctrine must be applied in that instance.
What about presumption of innocence until being proven guilty?
That's exactly the issue that it tries to deal with. So on the other side, critiques of the doctrine speak about the presumption of being proven or being innocent until proven guilty. However, on the Labour Appeal Court has said is, if you associate yourself and you are part of that group, and there's nothing that you, for instance, I think a silly example would be, as you see that it has become violent, did you leave or did you continue to be a part of? So by continuing to be a part of, you are associating yourself with the requisite intention that you wanted to, or you were supportive of, the acts of misconduct.
So in other words, it's important that one's conduct during a strike action, and is it important that that strike action is protected or unprotected, Tam Sankwa?
So if it's unprotected, that's misconduct on its own, because you're not allowed, in terms of the LRA, to go on an unprotected strike. That aggravates any type of misconduct that would take place during that strike. So it's not important that the strike is protected or unprotected, but what we do want, because employees are allowed and do have the right to participate in a protected strike, it is when the conduct in the strike changes from one that seeks to achieve whatever purpose that the strike is intended to achieve and becomes or turns into a violent portrayal or display of power by employees over an employer or whoever is representing the employer, that it becomes a problem.
Okay, so one's conduct during the strike action, as you're pointing out, then should be lawful and not violent. If it exceeds those boundaries, then one can get into trouble with the law.
Yes, they can.
All right. So, Tam Sankwa, where can employers and employees also find out further information around this as well?
The firm publishes alerts on a regular basis every Monday, especially employment law alerts. So if they were to Google Cliff Decker-Hoffmeyer strikes, Cliff Decker-Hoffmeyer doctrine of common purpose, an alert will come up and it will educate them about what we've just discussed, and it will also give them information about how to connect and contact the firm if they have further questions.
I would imagine that unions have also are up to speed with this. What is the responsibility then of unions?
To ensure that strikes themselves, because as you've rightly pointed out, there's protected and there's unprotected. Once it's protected, there's orderly conduct during that strike, and that it doesn't tip over. Because sometimes, and this is not something that I've said, but sometimes an employer, especially if there's damage to property, the employer may sue the union because the employees were acting under that union. Mm. So they also have that risk.
All right. One final question, Tam Sankwa. We're seeing a lot of unlawful conduct currently happening across the country in KZN and in Gauteng. And in this particular instance, in light of what we were discussing, would that just be conduct and law enforcement would then just pursue this conduct, be it criminal or not, upon the investigations?
At the risk of speaking out of turn, because I'm an employment law attorney and not a criminal law attorney, but I think the criminal justice system would deal with that in terms of the relevant criminal provisions and the acts that regulate that. Whether it's lawful or unlawful, I think is something that the NPA would decide whether they want to prosecute going further. So if it's in the context of the employment law sphere, then yes, it would be misconduct in that ordinary sense. However, I'd leave that to people who are wiser than me in terms of criminal law.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Tam Sankwa. Thank you, Tam Sankwa Mila, associate in the employment practice at Cliff Decker-Hoffmeyer. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Thank you.
The Honest Truth.